My name is Malagus. I'm one of the Magi. You may know us as wise men. And if you believe your songs and your traditions, you may think that we were three Magi. But I would encourage you to stick to your Bible and to know the truth. And we are Magi. But Magi are some of the most obscure, some of the least known persons of what you think of as the Christmas story, of the account of one who is born King of the Jews. And we appear only one time in Matthew 2. And then, forever after that, we disappear. Oh, it was just a brief time. This is an interesting scroll that you have here. I could have gotten used to this very easily. We Magi, our function was to search through scrolls, and a great plenty of them. And as we searched through these scrolls, and we also observed stars, but our purpose was to discover knowledge, to find out things, and to search out truth. I really could have gotten used to this. It seems like there is very much information here, all in one place. We had to search many scrolls in many places. But in searching, we were on a quest to find knowledge, but more importantly, to find truth. Have you ever wondered how many Magi there were? I can't tell you. The Word does not reveal that to you. Neither can I. What a truth that is contained in this. As I'm looking around, I suspect that in your day, which according to the popular calendar is the year 2017, 2,000 years ago, we were very much the same way you were. We were looking for wealth and how much of it we could accumulate. Sometimes we were looking for power. This guy looks like he might have a little bit. Yes. And some of us also searched for significance just to make even a little difference in this world that we lived. But to me, those pursuits seemed a bit off. Oh, I had plenty of wealth, as you can see. I had knowledge and understanding. I was a Magi, of course. But do you realize that if I were not a Magi, I doubt if anybody would have given two shekels for me. But as a Magi, I was able to serve kings. Now, we Magi were not kings, but we worked for them. And kings, as you might well know, have a lot of power and a lot of control. But their power and their control took so much of their time that they needed somebody to help them with things like, you know, knowledge and understanding. And that's where we Magi came in. We worked for kings. I suppose you could think of us as their research assistants. And I know that when you do research, you don't have to search many scrolls. A lot of times you don't even have to confer with the volumes of material that you have. You have these happy things that you refer to as search engines. Oh, fascinating things. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. That www.yahoo.com. Bing! I get all googly when I think about it. It's amazing. But no, we did not have that. We had the scrolls. It took a lot of hard work and a lot of diligence to come to the knowledge and understanding that we came to. And we Magi, we were a lot like your astronomers. We did a lot of searching in the sky. Now, okay, I want you to understand, I'm not talking about astrologers, you know, those people that, you know, they consort with the occult and with demons and try to get their influence from that. Ah, very bad, very bad. But we who were truly wise, we wise Magi, we looked to places like the stars and we searched the scrolls to see what we could find out of truth and of God. And in my search, I came to what probably is a not so startling revelation, that there is a great God and a mighty God, a God who has made everything. It was amazing. We looked at him and we understood that not only had God made everything, but he was a caring God and a compassionate God. And we knew that just by observing. For there was a sun to warm our earth and a sun to make the food grow. And also the flowers. There was a beauty in it, a comfort, a consolation. And this great God had provided all this for us. I committed to search out more about this great God. I wasn't convinced that that was the end of it, that that was all of God, that there must be more. And as I was seeking, do you want to know what God did? In my sincerity and in my drive to understand him more, he began looking for me. He was seeking me out at the same time I was seeking him. God will do that, you know. And it was amazing. One of the things that God had revealed to me was that there was to be one born king of the Jews. I was excited about this. God had not stopped. His purpose continues. But as I continued reading his word and looking at the stars, God continued to encourage me forward. You know, I suspect you may wonder how it is that I came to have this knowledge of the thing you affectionately refer to as the Old Testament. Not really quite so remarkable, you know. I cannot get over how remarkable your scrolls are. I'm a little concerned about how you carry them around or why you even attach them to the ceiling or why they remain blank. That one confuses me. But to find the copy of scriptures that you refer to as the Old Testament, does your scriptures not reveal to you that Jews had migrated into our area, Arabia? Maybe not directly, but it's historical. You might be aware of that. But as these groups of Jewish people came into our area, they brought their own scrolls. And being magi as we were, we became friends with the Jews. It was nothing for us to walk about and ask people questions and to get answers and to find out things. Not all of our information came from scrolls. But as these Jewish people came into Arabia, into our land, they brought their scrolls, and we as magi were curious about these scrolls. You know, we had seen the heavens. You do know that the heavens declare the glory of God, correct? Okay. Well, as we began looking through these scrolls, I became so excited. I found out, as I was reading in their scrolls, that one born king of the Jews did not merely come for Jews, but that he was also coming for Gentiles. I read about this in Isaiah 42. And in Isaiah 42, it said that Messiah, the one that is to come, was coming for Gentiles. Now, you may not be aware of this immediately, but let me clue you in. Arabs are Gentiles. That was for us. I can't explain. I was excited. But then as I read a little further, it said that the one who has come, who is born king of the Jews, was to be a light for the Gentiles. And that the people in Kedar should rejoice. Kedar, that's me! I understood that! Now, I expect you folks all know that the Jews trace their history, their lineage, back to Abraham. So do we Arabs. Did you know that? But Abraham had two sons. Count them, two. One was Isaac. And you're familiar with Isaac. And the other was Ishmael. I heard that. Yes. Now, did you know that Kedar was one of Ishmael's sons? Well, maybe you didn't know all of that. But when it said the villages of Kedar rejoice, that was talking about me. And I understood that. And my quest for knowledge and for understanding and knowing more of truth became very personal. Have you read in Galatians in your book in Galatians, where it says, when the time was right, Christ was born. Oh, little did I know how perfectly God had timed my visions of the star, my understanding of him, and my ability to see the scrolls and to understand God in the way that the Jewish people do. And it made my quest that much more personal. And I do dare say that when you follow your quest, it should also lead you to Jesus Christ. You know, I suspect that, as I said before, you are really no different than we were 2,000 years ago. And you are on a personal quest already. This quest could be for many things. As I had mentioned, it might be a quest for more money and the comfort of having it all. Or it might be a quest to find power and influence. Yeah, those are nice things to have. But are they so important? But when you embark on a quest to find God, he also will find you, and it will lead you to scriptures. Perhaps that has already happened with some of you. Don't want to pick on you too much, but perhaps it was because you were raised in a family that loved God and spoke of him often. Or perhaps God shook you up in a way that you can't understand or explain as you were pursuing your personal quest in life. But when you seek God and you seek to know his truth, I would advise you to stick to your Bible. Yes. Your quest, very much like mine, will become so very personal at that time. And that truth will sink in, and it will grip you. Yes. But as I was saying, as we searched the scriptures, and we saw more of God, and we were searching the stars to understand more of him, I believe that is why that God revealed himself to us in a star. A star, you say? What's in a star? Perhaps you think the star had some unique characteristic about it, some little twinkly thing. Or maybe it had little rays of light shooting out of it. No. We saw this star, and we knew that this star was unique. And it was presented to us, we magi. And it was a sign of one born King of the Jews. You may wonder how it is that we saw this star first in the east. For that's what your scripture tells you. But if you look at the map and you understand what you've been told before, that the Magi came from Persia, somewhere around Babylon perhaps, I would challenge you in this thought. Because as you see, Persia's, it is east, isn't it? From Israel, which is right here, it is east. But the scripture refers to this area as the people of the north, Would you like to know why? I could tell you. Because as people went this area to this area, they first had to go north, and then they went around this large desert area. They avoided that like a passion. Don't blame them, actually. But they would go north, and then they would go that way. So they thought of those folks up there as the Persians, as people of the north. But they considered us people of the east, because to get to us, they had to go east across the Jordan River, and then they would go south across the desert, and south. It was a long trip across the desert, not one that a person would take lightly. God's word doesn't exactly reveal all of those details to you. Well, I've kind of clued you in, but that's all geography. You can see that and understand that. You do understand that, right? Oh, there! I was waiting for some heads to nod. There they are. Well, you know, as we understood that, God's instructions to us were so very clear. One thing you do know about us, Magi, as it is recorded in Matthew 2, is that our purpose was sure, and it was determined, and we knew what direction we needed to go. Go. That took a bit of understanding on our part. Because as we looked for the star and we knew that there was one born king of the Jews, we had to reason amongst ourselves, where might we find this one born king of the Jews? To us, it was pretty plain, really quite simple. If you want to find a king of the Jews, where would you go? You would go to the capital of Israel, which is Jerusalem. Yes, that wasn't too difficult for us to figure out. At least in our minds. Convincing our families, our colleagues, our other friends. Yeah. That was a real challenge because they didn't understand that at all. Why would you want to go to Israel of all places? And why would you want to worship one born king of the Jews? Wow, what a dilemma they had. To us, we knew where we were going and what we were doing. Now, you may have discovered that having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and having faith does not make you the most popular person. That's what we discovered in short order. But those feelings were not as strong as what we knew we needed to do and where we needed to go. The thing we weren't informed about was this individual called Herod, who was the king of Israel in Jerusalem. And the thing about Herod was that he was pretty paranoid about, what shall we say, anything that threatened his power and his authority. He is king. He didn't want to be challenged by one who was born king of the Jews. Matthew does inform you of three things. And that were the three gifts that we brought to the one born King of Jews. They were frankincense, and they were myrrh, and they were gold. But don't assume that just because there were three gifts, that there were only three magi. We've already covered that. Stick to your word. And when we arrived at Jerusalem, we did not go straight to Herod's temple. We were magi. We did things like talk to people. And we were asking them, are you aware of one born King of the Jews? Do you know where is one born King of the Jews? Have you heard of one born King of the Jews? That was our way. We would ask people. We would seek to learn information. But all we got were these really blank stares. People were looking at us like, are you for real? You might know that term. With all of the copies of scriptures that were available to them, right there in Jerusalem, the temple itself, all the priests, it became evident to us that they had not seen that same star we had seen. They knew nothing of one born King of the Jews. They did not even seem to be concerned. Their only concern seemed to be, what is Herod going to think? That there is an attempt on his throne? They were paranoid themselves. Yes. This was the man that we were to meet in Jerusalem. This is the individual that we eventually would confront. And when we did, Herod did not inquire of us much. Oh, he called his own magi and his officials and those who were around him, and he inquired of them, where is this one born King of the Jews to be born? And Herod was seeking for knowledge. He had no concern for truth. And when his royal court informed him that Micah recorded that one born King of the Jews is to be born in Bethlehem, he arranged a secret meeting with us and took us off to the side and began inquiring of us about one born King of the Jews. Again, he was searching for knowledge, not understanding, not truth. The thing he seemed to want to know more about was when exactly it was we had seen this star that announced to us there is going to be one born King of the Jews. We were glad to tell him. We were thrilled at this knowledge. We told him, we've seen this star 2 years ago. Little did we know that tragically, Herod would use that very same information to demand that all of the children, all the boys 2 years and under, were to be killed. I cannot imagine anything more horrible than that. But to give you a little more background into Herod, Herod was a very powerful man. But as powerful men are, they also become powerfully corrupt and powerfully paranoid. Herod fit this bill exactly. If anybody offered any sense of a threat to his power or his authority, he'd have him executed on the spot occasionally. Herod was one who was known for frequent executions. He executed many of his 10 wives. His first execution was his own brother-in-law. I have a sneaky suspicion that you may have in-laws you're not in favor with. I don't think for a moment you would have them executed. But the one thing that drove Herod to an extreme was his favorite wife. She was accused of an offense against him, and he had her executed. And after her death, he found out that the accusation was false and that he had killed his favorite wife. And it drove him insane, as it were. And he just began a massive killings. And he killed friends, and he killed foes, and he killed officials in his own court, which probably included a few magi, I hate to admit, but that was bad enough. But then Herod ordered the execution of these innocent boys 2 years and under, just in a mere attempt to take away a threat to his power. So Herod, being the nice guy that he was, sent us off to Jerusalem on our merry way, with these words of encouragement. He said, "Oh, please do go find the child, the one that is born King of the Jews, and come back and tell me where he is so that I may go and worship him also." What a lie. That was never his intent. But we went away innocently to Bethlehem. To you, it's a brief 5 miles down the road. Closer than Random Lake, as you know. But as we went along, do you know what happened? That star that we had seen in the east again appeared to us. It was like having the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire that led Israel through the wilderness. It was exciting to us. That star had disappeared, and now it was with us again. And as we followed the star, it led us toward Bethlehem, up and over hills, winding roads, the whole bit, a couple of rocks even. But we were magi. We had studied many, many stars, and we had never seen a moving star. Oh, I heard you guys thinking movie star. No, we're talking about moving star. And we followed that star. And it took us into Bethlehem, down a narrow dirt street. Now, dirt streets to you are not desirable. But to us, dirt streets were where people had walked on frequently, and a lot of them. And it became hard and packed, and they were easily traversable as long as it wasn't wet. But we went down this dirt road. And as we were following the star, it became apparent to us that the star had stopped, and it seemed to be hovering over a place that was really less than ordinary. It had no symbol of significance or grandeur. But we knew that we were approaching the end of our quest, that this is where we would find one born King of the Jews. I have to imagine that we, traveling as we were with this caravan, looking like we did, we had to have stood out very boldly. Although we were not proud, we were not appearing to be over or above anybody. We were just humble. But to them, I could imagine that it would be like a limousine pulling up in front of your house. And you're honored by that. Well, when we knocked on the door, what we found wasn't people that were looking for honor or glory. They were very humble, just as we were doing. And when we inquired, "Is there one born king of the Jews here?" they were surprised. And Mary's eyes got large, and Joseph's jaw dropped. And they invited us in, as I said, very humbly. And there we were, standing in front of one who was born king of the Jews. His appearance was no greater than the building we were in. There was no grandeur. There was no celestial celebrations. But we knew that this child is one born king of the Jews. More significantly, we knew that this was God. For when we had seen that light, we knew that this was what we would find at the end of our quest. Was very personal. Knowing that we were standing in front of deity, spontaneously we fell down and we worshiped him. And no, we did not forget to render our presence to him. We gave him the frankincense and the gold and the myrrh. We had no understanding. We did not comprehend the significance of these gifts and how they would play in the life of this one-born king of the Jew. Gold, yeah, perhaps you understand. It seemed like a bit extravagant, but it was for a king. And the frankincense. Did you know that in this day, 2,000 years ago, frankincense came from Arabia? The sap of a tree that was boiled down into a little rock. And when you burned it, it would have a very sweet aroma and a sweet flavor in your mouth. And the myrrh, it also came from Arabia in those days. And the myrrh was from a plant also, but it was a different plant. And when it was prepared, it made a fragrance very sweet. And it was used on clothing, on bed garments, and for embalming to mask the odor, the stench of death. We didn't understand that these gifts were so significant in the life of this one born to be king of the Jews, who is a priest and a king and a sacrifice to save all of us. How do we worship now? How do we recognize Jesus Christ, the one who was born to be king of the Jews? Do we speak to him daily? Do we consider his word? Do we reckon what he has done for us? Oh, yes, we know. There are plenty of Christian books, and they reveal thoughts of individuals. And we read a lot of them, don't we? There are plenty of Christian celebrations and occasions. But do we find worship in him in all of those distractions? what you folks have and what I did not have in all of the scrolls that I had was this thing you affectionately refer to as the New Testament. The Gospels and the Epistles and the Revelation that define and describe and tell you the significance of this one born King of the Jews. Oh, I longed for the knowledge and the information that is contained in this. But for me, in my personal quest, I had to be satisfied just to see and to worship this one born King of the Jews. This, folks, was the end of my quest that I am here to tell you about. And as you search for him, I'm confident that he will become the end of your quest as well.
The three believed without a doubt, saw a guiding light, found him in a lonely place, knew he was divine. Wise men still look for him, giving gifts of thanks and praise. They called him a king, feeling joy that knew no bounds. They fell down worshiping. Wise men still look for him. Surely angels still sing when someone comes so far, traveling the distance from the depths of one's own heart. In searching for salvation, they need not wear a crown. He's still here for all who seek, and he wants to be found. Letting God's word be their guide, they went home again. And that's where their story leaves us and where ours begins. Still look for him.